And welcome back to EAA Radio's Push to Talk with Magneto Mel. That's me. We're sitting here with Grant Anderson. I screwed that up last time. Grant Anderson and Dan D'Ambrosio with a National Air Traffic Controllers Association. We're talking about top 10 pilot mistakes and just, I guess, everybody's sort of human issues in this activity of aviation. And you guys are on the controller side, so obviously you're going to see what we do or don't do.
Well, one thing, I mean, one fact for sure, at least I believe to be sure, is that we're all humans.
And yeah, I think that's the assumption.
Right.
Yeah.
And no matter how, obviously, rigorous training, repetition, and other methods can help eliminate some of the more common human errors, but there's always going to be that possibility there. Even when somebody is fairly sure, even running off of a checklist and just has the reading something and their mind is processing something else. Always a difficult thing. And in air traffic, well, some human errors are remarkably entertaining and others are very, very dangerous.
Human error in general, a lot of times things get attributed to pilot error. It's a general human error. Mm-hmm. And that human error is more than just the operator on board. And as you were saying, we've got the air traffic controllers that are contributing to this. You've got the potential for that human error. The mechanic that worked on the airplane may not be a mechanical issue. Might have just been the way somebody installed something or did something. There are humans all over it. It kind of gets sort of encapsulated down when something goes wrong to the last human to do the last piece of whatever caused this. And that's obviously generally the pilot, you know, so that last little thing.
Yeah, we're going into areas here. I mean, outside of more the humor side of pilot mistakes, but you're absolutely right, Mel. And some things which are very, very necessary. There's the study in general of human error and the type of under very stressful situations or even non-stress that we've been talking about. One thing I would like to encourage every pilot to do, and any controllers who are listening as well, is when something like that occurs, to fill out a NASA report. And I believe it's nasa.av.org. I don't have the website.
You're talking about the ASR? Yeah.
That ASR program, it is compiled statistically, but
ASRS,
also
was looked.
Yes,
yeah.
And but also looked at. I mean, outside of just the statistical, but the specifics of the situation, because, well, mistakes are going to happen, and some are going to be unavoidable, but all aren't. And an analysis of how and why things came to be, hopefully can keep someone else from an education.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we certainly don't need to continue to repeat them.
Sure.
Once we know that they occur, but that the and I will trip over this word, the anonymity, the anonymousness, the fact that a person can go ahead and document the incident or the accident without repercussions, I think is absolutely crucial. And so people understand that is absolutely the case. You can file the report, the incident, just want to know what happened, how it happened, and at that level, you don't care who you are or how much your fault it was. We just need to get it in there so that we can, install some procedures. And when I say we, I'm talking about as an aviation community at large. So,
well, I think that's something that in some areas we've been behind in this country on. It seems that when errors are made, an incursion, airspace violation, you name it. It's been in the past with the FAA and FISDO. It's been very, how should I say, prosecutorial. It's been a blame game. Who can we blame? And then again, how can we punish them for it? As opposed to what happened and what is its impact or relevance within the system, and how do we solve this? You can blame people all day long, but it's not getting to the root core of the problem. Yeah. It may have been a unique slip up, but maybe not.
It's a nice attribute to figure out who should pay financially. That's just what everybody kind of goes for, but that's really not the goal of this activity here.
And there's been some steps made right now by the agency, at least from the controller standpoint, of not so much on telling you that you did something wrong and now you're going to be penalized, as opposed to what actually happened. And this new program ATSEP is another anonymous program to report it in conjunction with the ASRS, the NASA stuff. Hopefully, it'll work as intended. It's a new program, and there's quite a bit of skepticism about it. But hopefully, it can actually have a database analysis to come up with some concrete, useful suggestions.
Now, one thing that that I wanted to talk about a little bit is when pilots make mistakes. Okay, you bury yourself 6 miles into the Class Bravo.
Oops.
Without a clearance. Something that has happened. And ATC...
We have anonymity here?
20-hour pilot at the time. And ATC gives you that infamous number to call.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, we're going to give you a number to call. That's my instructor had always
said.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not a death sentence for pilots. And a lot of times what you guys want to do, which I experienced firsthand, is to discuss the situation so that it doesn't happen again. Obviously, you're not anonymous at that point. But it's not a punitive thing. So, you know, what is that all about? When pilots do make mistakes, you're not out there to bust people. You're not out there to take licenses away.
That's not, as a controller, that's not our responsibility, is to lay down the law per se. Our jobs are just to keep everybody safe, keep airplanes separated, and make sure that everybody gets their destinations as quickly and safely as possible.
So at what point do you feel like it's necessary to say, hey, this is a zero knot discussion that we need to have, you know, which is zero?
Well, from my perspective personally, and the reason I say personally is sometimes management in the FAA is given different directives. In the past several years, it's been very punitive. My personal creed, and I think it works elsewhere in life, is no harm, no foul. And unless there was something, a loss of separation or a dangerous situation that developed, I see no reason to go any further with it, with the exception of that phone call to discuss things with the pilot, who it may have been a lack of familiarization, may have been some holes in the training. It may have just been an absolute random oops that's never happened before. And that sort of communication, two-way communication, which doesn't happen so much in the frequency with all the restrictive language and lack of time to do so. And not to mention the public embarrassment. You don't want to
have that discussion around among fellow pilots.
So just what were you thinking?
But also has to be used and within certain care, because, I mean, as speaking from a pilot yourself, when you get that, you got to call this number.
Yeah.
What do you think you're doing for the rest of that flight? You're thinking about what did I do back there? Instead
true.
Of, I've got to continue in a safe manner for the rest of this flight. So as most of those controllers, we don't want to say that on the frequency because you have somewhere to go and we want you to get there safely. So it's really in a really dramatic situation that we'd probably, like you said, if maybe a new pilot, like a VFR pilot, did something bad, hey, call us up. We're going to talk about, you know, which maybe we can help you
right.
in your situation.
And speaking of a number to call, if you do want to talk to these guys now in a good, calm, not on frequency environment, that number is 920-230-7987. 920-230-7987, and you can talk to them directly. We're going to go ahead and take another break here, and when we come back for the last segment of our ATC Hour, here on Push to Talk with Magneto Mel, EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, and around the world on the web at www.airventure.org/radio.